Good morning. It is time to get up with another field day. We'll tell you exactly what's at stake today as Justin puts on a second show. Meanwhile, you'll hear why some people think this is going to be the best quarterback in the draft and why they just might be right. Plus, if you thought Aaron Rodgers was frustrated before, wait until you see what happened yesterday. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. Fired up on a Wednesday. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. I am Greeny and I have put together exactly the right team for you today. Let's take a look. Kimberly Martin is breaking news all morning long. Teddy Bruschi is making tackles. Mike T is wheeling and dealing. And maybe, just maybe, Desmond will strike that Heisman post. All that and more as we get it started today with Justin Fields, who will take part in a second pro day today. As previously reported, both 49ers general manager John Lynch and head coach Kyle Shanahan are expected to be in attendance. And so the question, of course, is whether or not this will impact where Justin Fields winds up being drafted. Another reminder, Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft, which we unveiled for you yesterday, has Fields at number 10 and number 5 of the 5 big first-round quarterbacks. So that's the question. Could anything change based upon what we see today? So let's get right to it. Kimberly, let's start with who will be in attendance. What do we know about who is going to see Justin Fields in person today and why?
Greeny, a lot of NFL teams will be in attendance, including the 49ers, the Patriots, the Falcons, and the Panthers. And here's what else we know. Justin Fields plans to do some 49ers plays today. And you might think, well, that's interesting. But it's not an uncommon practice. You want to show teams, hey, I can, let's put in a staple of throws that we know that guys like Kyle Shanahan, Mike LaFleur, Arthur Smith, can, you know, will have in their offense, and they can see, oh, Justin Fields, how does he fit? How does he look doing what we do? But looking at this pro day, Justin understands there's nothing that he's going to do today that's going to change where he's drafted. He just has to be him, and that's what he plans on doing.
All right, so if nothing that happens today would change where he's drafted, then it's fascinating that they're doing it at all. And so, Teddy, what do you find most interesting about this? The fact that he's doing a second pro day, what does that mean to you?
I think it you dive into the mentality, which is Justin Fields, because, I mean, if I were in his corner, I'd tap on his shoulder and say, man, you don't need to do anything else. You go out there and tell all these guys to watch the film because you put out good film and you have one pro day. But for him to come out and do another pro day, he's sort of saying that, okay, you want to see more? I'm willing to show you more. I'll do more. Here it is, coaches. What do you want to see? If you want to see it, I'm willing to do whatever you want to do, because I feel it'd be easy for Justin to say, one pro day, I'm good. Watch the film. Moving on. Whoever drafts me, drafts me. But he's got this thing inside of him that wants to compete and wants to continually show everyone out there what he can do, and I respect that.
That's an interesting mentality. So, Des, what is on the film? You have watched every snap he has taken in his career as you cover for us. So as you assess him relative to the other quarterbacks in this draft, how do you see him? Where is he on the list of the best in this draft as far as you're concerned?
Well, first, let me address what Teddy said about his competitive nature. This isn't about, I don't think it's about Justin being so competitive he wants to go out there and show them what he has again. This was already in play. From quotes that I've read from his agent, once the Kyle Shanahan and GM went to go see Mac Jones at the Alabama Pro Day, which is the same day as Justin Fields' first Pro Day, they figured, they said, you know what? We're going to do another pro day too, so you guys can come see our guy live and in person. So I don't think it's more about, hey, let me go out here and show him how competitive I am. Once that happened, this pro day was in motion. So that's why they're doing it. As far as Justin Fields and where he stacks up with the other five, he's probably the most athletically gifted of the other five, of the other four quarterbacks. His arm strength is incomparable. I think he has really good accuracy in the pocket. But then when he breaks contain, he wants to run. He's not looking down the field that much. And then he has had issues with his progression. You look at the Indiana game. You look at the Northwestern game. You look what Alabama did to him, too.
So there's a lot to dissect there. Teddy, let's look at some tape. I know you put together a little tape for us today on what you're seeing in Justin and how you think it could translate. What do you see?
Yeah, and just what Dez is talking about there, his athletic ability as a defender defending against someone like this, it's easy for defenses to get ready for the structure of a play, okay? Here's the structure of a play, for example, of Patrick Mahomes. You get a rusher up the middle of the pocket, and he's able to use that ability and improvise and make some type of play where he gets it out of there. That's a Patrick Mahomes play. Andy Reid didn't call that play right there, okay? Similar to Justin Fields, if it's not there initially and he doesn't have it, defensively we have it covered, but then it's like, man, do I rush him? Do I stay back in coverage? And that's a throw he can make on the run also. So it's just those problems, looking at it from a defensive perspective, when I have a quarterback that's going to stay there in the pocket, and I know he's going to be there. I know what to do within the structure of my defense on how to stop it. But once there's that extra element, which Justin has, I think that gives him a lot of ability in terms of more value to a team.
By the way, Desmond, did you see what he did there? He showed Patrick Mahomes against the Jets, and then he showed Justin Fields against Michigan. I take that personally, and you
cold
should too.
Cold-blooded, man. Cold-blooded.
That's what I think. I think Teddy.
You should have cut his mic, Green. You should have cut his mic.
He's coming at us early. But Kimberly, let me circle all the way back to you, which is to say, what is at stake then? If the mentality he's taking into this is, today isn't going to decide where I get drafted, then what is it about? What is at stake today as we all get set to watch and follow what Justin Fields does?
Listen, Justin Fields is super confident in himself, but it's just being you in front of a different set of eyes. We talked about the amount of pro days that are happening, some guys having pro days on the same days. Now teams bringing in different guys, and coaches that I talk to, they repeatedly say, I just want to see him live. I just want to get a feel for him. And even though I saw him before, I actually just want to see him again. There are no private workouts, so this is his opportunity to get up close and personal with a lot of teams.
And so does he, I guess what I want to ask you is, does he still have a chance to break into the top three? We have been acting as though the top three picks are basically set. Does he still have a chance to change that dynamic, Kimberly? It's as simple as that.
Depending on who you talk to, I know Mac Jones is penciling on some people's mock drafts, but a lot of other personnel guys in the league think he's the third guy. So I'm really interested to see what the 49ers do because, you know, you look at Mac Jones versus Trey Lance and the Justin Fields, you can make a case for all of these guys. And Kyle Shanahan, we know what he can do with quarterbacks. It really comes down to which quarterback traits does he like and which guy does he think is going to set his team apart.
Well, that is the perfect
guys,
way
I'm
to get.
I'm telling you right
Teddy.
Now, fellas. Hey, guys, yeah. Minds are made up. Minds are made up. And if they don't know what they're doing, 1, 2, 3 by now, they need to be fired. Okay? Because minds are made up. And something Justin does at a pro day right now, I don't think is going to change anybody's mind.
Dez, go ahead.
Greeny's not going to get a word in this show. This is what's going to happen. Okay.
Go ahead, Desmond.
Minds aren't made up. Kyle Shanahan's been flying across the country for some dog and pony show just because he wants to add some extra miles or something like that. When you have a guy like Justin Fields, Justin Fields is in play. He's in play for the 49ers. Trust that.
Okay. We have started off spicy this morning, and I love it. Let's talk about the quarterback who is penciled in on most of these mock drafts, including Mel's yesterday, and that is Mac Jones. And the reality of it is, his numbers this past season were better than anybody's, not just better than anyone in this class, but by some measures, better than anybody's ever. And then yesterday on this show, Lewis Riddick had more to say about Mac Jones. Listen.
Some very, very, very smart quarterback tutors and former offensive coordinators who coached at a very high level in the NFL have told me they believe Mac Jones is the best quarterback in this draft. Not just one that needs to be in the mix or that deserves to be in the mix outside of Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, but they believe as though ultimately he's the best quarterback.
It wasn't that fascinating. Mike T. joins the party with us this morning as well. And Mike T., let me start with you on that. Lewis is saying he's heard people say that Mac Jones is actually the best quarterback in this draft. When you hear that, what's your response?
Well, I don't think he is. I think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback. But what's interesting, Greeny, is I host a call every week with former head coaches and GMs, and we went through the same analysis, and coaches like Wade Phillips and Eric Mangini, who have defended quarterbacks for most of their careers, see Mac Jones in a very similar way to what Lewis is alluding to, which is he's so smart, he knows where to go with the ball before the snap, and from a defensive coach perspective, that's deadly. I know for years competing against Teddy's Patriots and Tom Brady, we just hoped that Tom had to make a decision after the ball was snapped, because when they know what to do, it's impossible to defend. And Mac Jones has that sort of acumen in terms of knowing what to do before the ball snapped.
How about it, Dez? Again, you were there with game day to document, you know, his entire season, and it was historic. He had the highest QBR in the history of that metric. So when you, Desmond, watch Mac Jones, what do you think you're seeing?
Well, you see a smart quarterback, a very accurate quarterback, a guy who's very confident, too. He understands the offense. He had a brilliant play caller, Steve Sarkisian, put them in consistent positions to win. And then he had an all-star cast, Greeny. I mean, from the offensive line, which was one of the best in the country, he had the running back, Najee Harris, who's going to be a first-round pick. And from last year when he stepped in for Tua when Tua got hurt, to this year, you're talking about four first-round draft picks at the wide receiver position. So he's always been set up to succeed, but his ball placement is excellent. He knows where he's going to go with the ball. His reads pre-snap and post-snaps are on point. But from an athletic standpoint, he's not the guy you're going to say is going to be the best quarterback or have the greatest career. He's going to have a tremendous amount of talent around him to be able to succeed at the next level. Can we please issue a memo, Greeny? Can you please tell all the analysts you cannot use Tom Brady, the greatest outlier in the history of the NFL game, as an example for anything else moving forward? Please, Greeny, please.
I'm delighted you said that. We have so many people that will say, yeah, Brady just won the Super Bowl, so you can do it that way. You're right. He's an outlier. But Teddy, let me come to you on this. As a Super Bowl champion, Lewis made another point in that same conversation yesterday. He said the objective of the draft is to help you win games and win championships. It's not about winning the draft. So if Mac Jones is the right guy for San Francisco in this case, even if he isn't the best player on the board, he helps them win, then Lewis is saying he's the right pick. As you hear that, Teddy, what do you think?
You'd have to, I mean, you got to justify that with being the number three overall pick. I'm with Dez on this. I mean, with whom he played with, I mean, the situation that he was in. I mean, Mac Jones, yeah, he sounds like someone that can play 10 years in the league, but he can also be a backup for 10 years. I mean, this is the number three overall pick. Now, to say that he's the best quarterback in the draft, period, I mean, okay, listen, there are a lot of opinions out there, okay? I mean, I've talked to opinions that hear that opinion and laugh at it, like, how is that even possible with Trevor Lawrence there, with Zach Wilson there, with Justin Fields there? I don't know. So there are a couple times in the calendar in the NFL where teams tell the truth. They tell the truth during free agency based on their actions and who they sign, and they tell the truth in the draft by who they select. So we'll see right now what the truth is come draft day, that if they feel he's the best in the draft, then they'll take him number three overall, because I just can't see how that's true.
I'm with you. I've continued to say it. I will have to see it to believe it. When he goes off the board at number three, that's when I'll believe it's really going to happen. All right, we'll take our first break. We are flying this morning. We're getting up with you as we continue. Coming up, Cam Newton is back for another season with the Pats. But what will it take for New England to move up and take Justin Fields for the future? We'll figure it out. Plus, a Jeopardy whiff that left Aaron Rodgers exasperated. Should he feel any better about his future in Green Bay? Those answers are on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Aaron Rodgers continues to host Jeopardy, and yesterday we had this very amusing moment.
The 1960s, these Midwesterners earned 5 NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
We're the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you know that one, huh?
So he seemed to take
That's
that.
Right.
Teddy, he seemed to take that personally, which candidly, and does that surprise you?
Aaron takes everything personal, man.
And that really is where this conversation begins, Teddy, with as we sort of focus in a serious way on the Aaron Rodgers situation. You were telling us in our meeting this morning that it is the way that people like him take things personally that you think will dictate what his future looks like.
Yeah, well, it's the main reason why quarterbacks like him, you know, have success too. They remember everything. They have memories like elephants. You know what I mean? They take everything personal. He takes it personal that he didn't go number one overall in the draft, and they left him waiting in the draft room, an embarrassing moment for him. And there are two words that he remembers, and it's traded up. And they traded up in the first round to get the Love kid, the quarterback of their future, and he remembers that. So he is going to use all of his power to say, hey, I'm going to finish where I want to finish because obviously you don't want me to finish here. So this is all on Aaron Rodgers and what he wants to do and the choices he wants to make. He has the power.
And Kimberly, what are you hearing from people around the league as they consider the future, the football future, maybe not the game show future, although that is becoming an increasing topic of conversation as well, but the football future of Aaron Rodgers?
Greeny, yeah, you know, he might be a Green Bay Packer this year, but when I talk to people around the league, they feel like next year they don't see him in Green Bay. This feels like we're nearing the beginning of the end with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, which is really scary when you think of all the teams that are desperate for an elite quarterback. The Packers have one, and this is what this relationship has evolved into.
What do you think, Desmond?
I agree 100%. I mean, you know, Teddy mentioned when they traded up. I mean, Greeny, when you trade up to go get the quarterback of the future, I mean, that's like the ultimate kick in the family jewels to your quarterback who's a franchise quarterback, a first ballot yes. Hall of Famer, and you do that to him. I mean, everybody's mouth dropped, even Aaron's agent. When that happened, because no one saw it coming. So if I'm Aaron at this point, man, I would pull a Jim Brown. Remember Jim Brown was on the set of a movie, and he was like, you know what? I'm not getting hit. I'm getting paid. I'm around these beautiful women. You know, I'm going to go ahead and retire. How about, I mean, the job that he's doing on TV right now as the host of Jeopardy, how about he inks a deal, he becomes the host, and he tells the Packers, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to retire. If I was Aaron, I would really think about doing that.
I'm not sure that is the expectation, but the number of people who have suggested to me that is a real possibility is impossible to ignore. So I'm glad you brought it up. Meanwhile, let's go back to the family jewels part of that, Teddy, because you were talking about that, and let's get specific. I mean, you played with one of those guys forever, right, with a guy like Brady. So can you give me an example? How is it that you have seen that up close and personal, the way these guys take those slings and arrows personally?
Every time you see Tom Brady at a press conference and he's conducting himself with at the utmost class and respecting his opponent, it's totally opposite behind the scenes. I mean, it's just like he's a killer behind the scenes. He knows what everything's been said about him. He remembers previous years when they played each other and how he can beat these various cornerbacks and how he doesn't respect them or anything like that. It's that part of him that's always there. The same thing with Aaron. Now, on the outward sort of public persona of it and how he handles himself as a professional, sure. But these guys, I mean, these guys are maniacal in the way they compete. And to take, like Dez is talking about, to take that personal about what you did and trade it up to get that man, Jeopardy, it's called leverage. And that's what Aaron Rodgers has, and he'll have it as long as he's in the NFL.
Let me leave that there for the moment. We have much more to do as we continue. I want to also remind you that tomorrow is the 25th annual WNBA draft, and it's live on ESPN at 7 Eastern. It'll be a virtual format once again. The Dallas Wings have the first two picks. The Atlanta Dream have the third. The Indiana Fever sitting at number 4. Again, that's tomorrow on ESPN. In other news, in Minnesota, the Twins and the Timberwolves returned to action yesterday, 2 days after a deadly police shooting sparked massive protests and led to the postponement of all major sporting events in Minneapolis. Moments of silence were held to remember the victim, Dante Wright, at Target Field, where the Twins hosted the Red Sox, and at the Target Center, where the Timberwolves hosted the Nets. No fans were allowed at the T-Wolves game. Both teams in that game wore warm-up shirts that read, "With liberty and justice for all," the final line of the Pledge of Allegiance.
At this point, you just really don't understand what's going on around here. You know, it's different stories every single day about families' lives getting altered because of police brutality. And I mean, at this point, I really don't know what to say.
In that span of about 11 months, you know, there's been no changes. There's been nothing. So, like, where do we go from here? Where are the changes? And I think that's what we need to see now because, you know, this has to stop.
Both the Timberwolves and the Twins play day games because of a curfew. They will both do the same thing again today. Meanwhile, Celtics star Jaylen Brown, who has been outspoken on social issues, had this to say following his game.
But if you're watching this, listening, or tuning in, I just want you to know that your life has value. So much value that they're trying so hard to make you feel otherwise. My life has value. My life had value before I played for the Celtics, and it will long after. At some point, you realize what you're dealing with. The power has and always will be with the people. You got to stand up and fight. What other solution do we have? That's really all I got. See you guys later.
The veteran police officer who shot and killed Wright has resigned from her position. Police say she was intending to fire a stun gun, but instead accidentally fired a handgun. The Brooklyn Center police chief has also resigned. We'll be right back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm not really worried about the numbers I put up. It really, in my mind, it's what I expect.
I'm going to win on my own. I'm in a whole nother zone. It's time to finish you. I don't care who I just did it to. Said I'm fired up. I'm sorry your time's up. I see the top and I climb up. Came from the ashes, I rise up.
I expect to make big plays in big games because that's what big-time players do.
It's his day. That's Justin Fields having his second pro day today. And you may have seen it yesterday here on this program, but Mel Kiper in his new mock draft 4.0 projected a trade between Dallas and New England, with the Patriots going up to 10 to take Justin Fields, which obviously would be a fascinating development if it happens. The Patriots have not been in a position where they needed to deal with the quarterback situation in such an incredibly long time. So, Kimberly Martin, let me start with you. What are you hearing relative to the Patriots' plans of aggressively, one way or the other, addressing the quarterback position over the next few weeks?
You know, Greeny, everyone says Cam is great for this year. He's a bridge. But you know what that means? Bridge means temporary. It's the temporary fix until you find the guy of the future. No one believes that Cam is going to be in New England for the long haul. But what the Patriots do, what they're able to give up to move up, that remains to be seen, because everyone feels like Bill Belichick has to do something. They need an answer at QB, a long-term answer. No one seems to know what it's going to take for the Patriots to move up. Do they move up into the 10? Can they get up to something crazy like 4? It's going to take a lot of capital to get there. But one thing's certain, Belichick has to be thinking about the future beyond Cam Newton.
Right. We just saw these are things that typically Bill doesn't do. But again, he's never been, or certainly not in a very long time, been in this kind of situation. So, Teddy, no one knows him better than you do. Oop, I think we just lost Teddy there. So let me come to Mike Tannenbaum, who also knows him well. Mike Tannenbaum has sauntered with Bill Belichick, which is a level of relationship.
But
I don't know that Teddy.
Not the sauna, no.
I'm not sure if we've who I've got now at this point. So just put someone on the. Oh, there we go. Okay, Kimberly, I can go back to her, or I can go to. I was going to go to Mike T, if possible. Do we have Mike still? Mike, I would ask you the question about moving up like that. Like, you know the cost of these things. We're talking about what one would have to trade in order to get there. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, what Mel is projecting. To go from 15 to 10, what does that cost?
Yeah, Greeny, here's where it gets interesting. It would be this year's second-round pick and two next year. And what New England's trying to do now is be proactive, because there's three other teams, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Washington, that could be in the mix to try to go up and get, let's say, Justin Fields. So it's two twos, and if I'm Coach Belichick, I don't get off the phone until I get a deal done, because while I think two twos is fair and reasonable for Justin Fields, I think another team could overpay to get there, because again, it's a long ways away, but there's not a lot of quarterbacks next year. So even like a team like Washington with Ryan Fitzpatrick or Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, Justin Fields would be an unbelievable accomplishment for those teams to get him this year. So while two twos looks good on paper today, while the draft's actually going on, if I'm Coach Belichick, I don't get off the phone without getting a deal done.
Okay, and so that's an interesting way of looking at it. There's so many other pieces to this, and so as we try and figure things out with Teddy, Kimberly, let me come back to you. The reason I phrased the question initially the way I did, address the quarterback position, is that there is obviously another option here, which is if San Francisco does indeed take Mac Jones, or any quarterback, I suppose, at number three, that could make Jimmy Garoppolo available. So what do you hear relative to the chances that that might be the move that Bill Belichick wants to make?
I've always heard that the Patriots love Jimmy, and it makes perfect sense, especially you started hearing Jimmy and the Patriots the minute the 49ers pulled the trigger on that trade, because they're thinking about their future beyond Jimmy. So that makes him expendable. As much as they say, we love Jimmy, he's our guy, you know, injuries are one thing, but we love him as the player. Yeah, I'm sure they do love him as a player, except they have a chance to get somebody better. So at least in their eyes. So if you have a QB sitting there that you know New England has had an affinity for, Belichick has a connection with, it makes logical sense that the Patriots should be invested in trying to get Jimmy Garoppolo. But again, all these teams, do you want the familiar, or do you want one of these QBs in this draft that might take your offense, take your team to another level?
Well, once just only to finish that up quickly then, Mike T, which of those would you describe as the more realistic one, or the one that you would expect Belichick would prefer, given his choice? Do you think he would prefer to go get a rookie or to go get Jimmy Garoppolo, including whatever the price would be in either case?
Because they have Cam Newton, I would expect they would want to go younger and develop their own, especially if it's someone like Justin Fields who has such a high upside. If Cam Newton wasn't there, I think Jimmy Garoppolo fits better. But as Kimberly alluded to, and I agree, they have sort of an intermediate bridge quarterback. So I do think they'd be aggressive. I think, as you said, Greeny, it's uncharacteristic, but it's too good of an opportunity to get that young quarterback.
All right, that is something to keep a very close eye on as we work our way there. Meanwhile, we have sneaky big news from the NFL yesterday, and it comes from Tampa, where the defending Super Bowl champions have signed running back Giovanni Bernard to a one-year contract. He's an eight-year vet. He had 771 yards from scrimmage last year, 6 touchdowns for Cincinnati. And why is this such a big deal? Well, what Tom Brady loves is a running back out of the backfield who can catch the football. And last year, he didn't have that. His backs had 15 drops. That was the worst among any group in the league last year. And Bernard does this. He's top 10 among backs in both receptions per target and receiving touchdowns. And so as I bring the team back in here, let me come to you then on that one, if I can. Kimberly Martin. Now that they've added all of these pieces and they bring back every starter from last year, they add the one thing they seem to be missing, which is the back out of the backfield. If one were to sort of propose this to you in such a way as we were to ask, do you like the Bucs or the field to win the whole thing next year? Which direction would you be leaning?
You know, it's funny that Teddy's not on the screen right now, because I'm sure he would say something like, oh, the safe bet is the field, right? But you know what? I'm going to buck that trend. I'm going to say the Bucks, because who had a better offseason than the Bucks? Nobody, because they return all 22 of their starters and their specialists. And I understand history says it's very, very rare that a team can repeat as champions. I get that, but I'm bold, and I'm gonna say if anybody can do it, it's this Bucks team. Based on what we've seen, how they've added new pieces, and how other guys who had great seasons could have gone elsewhere, but they said, you know what? I'm buying in. I want to stay. I want to make less money here because we got a good thing going. So I'm gonna say the Bucks.
I love the wording. If you're gonna buck the trend, why not do it with the Buccaneers? Desmond, let me come to you. You got the Bucks or the field to win it all next year?
Wow, Greeny, I will have to agree with Kimberly as far as bucking the trend, and you're going with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and what they were able to do this past season. Now they're returning all the starters in there. He gets another weapon, the guy in the backfield who can do all the things that Tom loves from his running backs. But it seems as though you have to go with the field, man. It's tough.
Come
it's
on,
a hard
Des.
Decision. But I think now playing with the Kimberly, they got the bullseye on their back this time. Now every game they have to be perfect. They have to bring their A game. They didn't have to really deal with that a year ago. So I think that the field now is going to come after Tom Brady, come after the Bucks. I'm going to have to go with the field. And I would love for that man right there, Aaron Rodgers. How about that? If he's able to just, you know, walk away with another Super Bowl victory and then, you know, have a choice of whatever team he wants to go to. So, Greeny, I'm going to have to say I'm going with the field.
Mike Tannenbaum, how about you?
Well, continuing with the puns, what's going to jeopardize the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from repeating are the Green Bay Packers. And if you want sneaky big news, how about getting back David Bakhtiari, a great left tackle who only played 12 games last year? So they were so close to beating Tampa Bay. They're getting back a great left tackle. They re-signed Aaron Jones. So I think their chances of repeating are in big jeopardy if I'm in Tampa Bay.
Now, that's very well played. And I just have a feeling that if Teddy Bruschi was in this segment, he would have said that if this was the NBA, he would take the team. But in the NFL, you take the field. And I think that because that's what he said in the meeting. All right, as we continue in just a moment here, with an Eagles team that seems to need absolutely everything, how can Philly use the draft to set up Jalen Hurts for success? We'll explain as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up. And so after starting the last four games of the 2020 season and then seeing Carson Wentz traded to the Colts, Jalen Hurts goes into 2021 as the Eagles' QB1. His right tackle is Lane Johnson. And Lane Johnson has good things to say about the second-year quarterback, telling the Philadelphia Inquirer, "I think you see a guy who has an arm and is versatile with his legs, but we're still waiting to see what he can do in a full season. He carries himself like a veteran." And Kimberly Martin, that last part of it, he carries himself like a veteran, seems to be an incredibly important piece of the puzzle when we talk to people in and around the Eagles. What do you hear?
Greeny, I don't know what Jalen Hurts will be, and neither do you. But the Eagles believe that they have something special. Everybody in that building believes in Jalen Hurts. You know, when you talk to them and you ask them about Jalen, even last year, the things that I heard were, man, this kid, he is magnetic. He's just got a personality where you want to be around him. You're like fixated by his charisma. And when he steps into the pocket or when he steps into that huddle, guys on his team believe, whatever, he may be young, he may be new to the NFL, but we think we've got a chance with him. And when he's in the locker room, he's that guy that everybody feels comfortable with. He's comfortable with his teammates, and that's not something you can say about Carson Wentz during his time in Philly.
Yeah, so he gets the good opportunity, and he sort of has everybody rooting for him. And Desmond, you know, as you chronicled his very dramatic collegiate career, he's probably best remembered for the way he handled adversity in multiple situations, including being replaced as the starting quarterback in Alabama. So what is your perspective on that, his leadership and his ability to take this opportunity and become the entrenched starting quarterback in Philadelphia?
Well, I think Kimberly hit it on the head. I mean, his teammates, they absolutely love this young man. And like you said, Greeny, when he was at Alabama, he was replaced in the biggest game of his career by Tua. And, you know, he didn't transfer out immediately. He came back the next year. He was a guy who his teammates, he could galvanize the locker room. They loved his competitive nature. He was always about the team. You look at his athletic tools, his physical tools. Obviously, he's a runner. He runs like a running back, tough, works out with the linebackers. He can make most of the throws. He's going to still have to get better with the timing of routes and everything of that nature. But what he brings to the locker room, what he brings to his team, is something that a lot of players, they just simply don't have. He has that it factor. They're going to want to go out there and run through a wall for Jalen Hurts. And that's what you want from your leader, especially at the quarterback position.
It's an incredibly important piece of the puzzle. It's not the only piece. Obviously, there are the talent and all those sorts of things are also a factor. So, Mike T, as you evaluate him and his chances of winning that job forever, what do you see?
Yeah, I agree with the intangibles, but I am concerned about the accuracy. Now, in fairness, he only threw 148 passes, so it's an incredibly small sample set, but he only completed 52%, and that would be my concern, which is when the pocket is compressed, can he consistently make the throws down the field? We simply did not see that last year, Greeny. I think Philly's doing a really reasonable approach here, which is he's getting the opportunity now. They have three first-round picks in the future if it doesn't work out, but he's going to have to clean up his accuracy to keep that job long-term.
Yeah, we will see. Again, this is one of the situations to watch. The Eagles, when the draft process began, were in a position that if they wanted to address the position, they could have. They made the choice to trade out of that voluntarily. So they've made a commitment here with Jalen Hurts, and let's see where it goes. Meanwhile, let's do some quarterback comparisons as we look at some of the players in this draft and who they might compare to in the NFL. Desmond, who does Trey Lance remind you of?
Trey reminds me of Donovan McNabb, not just because he wears number 5, but both guys can throw the deep ball with accuracy. They're both physical runners. They get outside the pocket. Now this defensive back or linebacker, they got a decision to make. Do I really want to come up and try to hit this guy? Or they can still throw with accuracy on the move. So I love the comparison between Trey Lance and Donovan McNabb. He reminds me a lot of D. McNabb.
McNabb was the second pick once upon a time. Mike T, how about Trevor Lawrence? Who does he remind you of?
Andrew Luck, former first pick overall. Big, strong, and athletic. Andrew Luck was a better athlete than people realized. He could run you over. He can make you miss. He can make all the throws. Trevor Lawrence is the same way, Greeny. He gets so much credit for his arm strength, which he should. He's a really good athlete, and he's going to be dynamic in Urban Meyer's offense.
Yeah, both figure to wind up having been first picks overall in this draft or in a draft. And then, Dez, how about Zach Wilson? Who's he remind you of?
He reminds me of Baker Mayfield, just a little taller, a little more slender, more athletic, but the mentality. Both guys have tremendous confidence in their arms. They're going to throw some balls that you think they shouldn't throw. They're excellent off-platform throwers, too, and they can get outside the pocket and run, but they rather still throw the ball even when they break contain, which makes them both very dangerous. I just think he's a little taller, but he has the same mentality of a Baker Mayfield. He's really a gunslinger, just like Mayfield.
Well, he figures to go number two. Baker obviously went number one. Taking another look at Mel Kiper's most recent mock draft with the five quarterbacks going in the first round. And you see, it's Lawrence one and Zach Wilson two. And that's what everyone anticipates to happen. But I want you to hear what Chris Sims said about Wilson on Adam Schefter's podcast.
I just like Zach Wilson more. I look at Zach Wilson and I think his high-end talent is greater than Trevor Lawrence. And I think he's got room to grow as a football player altogether. But when I just look at him, Shefty, I just go, man, I see some Rodgers and Mahomes-like qualities.
You were a front office member like you're talking about. You would take Zach Wilson at number one in this draft over Trevor Lawrence.
I would, yeah.
So that's fascinating. And obviously everyone is entitled to their opinion. I'm seeing the look on your face. Mike, well, go ahead. I won't even ask you the question I was going to. Go ahead, Mike. What is that look on your face? What does it mean?
Yeah, I love Chris Sims. He's a good guy, but he had durability problems. And I hope I'm wrong when I say this, but Zach Wilson, that would be what keeps me up at night. He's had two major injuries already. He missed four games in 2019 with a wrist. He's had shoulder surgery. Trevor Lawrence is built to last. He's big, strong, and physical, just as we compare him to Andrew Luck. And while Zach Wilson has those flash plays, and I like him, Greeny, we have to get used to saying this. Can he withstand the rigors of a 17-game regular season? And I've scouted Zach Wilson in person, and I just don't know. And if Chris Sims was running an organization, my gosh, to put all your chips in the middle of the table for a guy that's not that big, I just don't know.
Well, not only that, but the question I was going to ask you is, if 32 teams were making that decision, if 32 teams were sitting at number one right now, like Jacksonville is, out of those 32, how many of them would take Trevor Lawrence number one?
The one that Chris Sims was running, but I can't imagine anybody else. Trevor Lawrence, we use this term generational, but Trevor Lawrence checks every single box. I just can't imagine anybody in good conscience can look at Trevor Lawrence and pass him up. We're overcomplicating it. Zach Wilson's interesting, intriguing, but he's been hurt twice in college, and he's played Weber State. What happens when he plays in the AFC East?
Yeah, that's the point. 32 out of 32 general managers in the NFL, I believe, would take Trevor Lawrence number one, including Joe Douglas of the New York Jets. If they had the first pick, they would be taking Trevor Lawrence. It just didn't work out that way. Desmond, obviously, you know these guys better than anybody. What do you think of that idea? And everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course, but that Chris is saying he would take Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. What do you think?
Well, it's laughable, but like you said, everyone has are entitled to their opinion. But I think that, you know, you look at Trevor Lawrence. I was at Clemson's football camp about 2 years ago with my sons, and Trevor Lawrence just walked in there with t-shirt on and shorts, and you were just amazed at how big he actually is outside of his past. And like Mike T said, you look at Zach Wilson, he's a slender built guy. He's already been hurt. Don't forget, this guy's going to be the face of your franchise for hopefully 10 to 12 to 14 years. And Trevor Lawrence has been the face of Clemson football, if not college football, for at least 2 years. So he's used to that type of pressure. He can make all the throws. He's built to last. I just don't even see the comparison where you would risk all of that with the guy who didn't play the competition level. Don't forget, even though the ACC was weak, Trevor Lawrence played against the Alabamas, he played against Ohio State, you know, he played against the LSUs. Like, he played against the best of the best, and that's what you want when you're going to pick someone number one overall.
Kimberly?
It's easy for Chris Sims or anybody to say what they would do. The issue is your job's not on the line. These 32 GMs and head coaches, it's their jobs and their reputations that is on the line when they make these picks. I can't imagine anyone in the NFL picking anyone other than Trevor Lawrence with the first pick. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But we're all entitled to our opinions, but really it matters what all 32 GMs think.
All right, we'll leave that there for the moment. We have much more to do as we continue to get up with you. Big Hour is on the way, and Teddy Bruschi is going to rejoin us for it as we've got that worked out. Justin Fields, again, holding a second pro day. Is it a showcase for the 49ers, or is there a message being sent to a different team? We'll get to that. And again, yeah, Teddy's going to jump back in here in just a moment. You're watching Get Up.
All right.
On ESPN.